This podcast is part of the Everyday Heroes Podcast Network, the network for first responders and those who support them.
What a lot of people don't realize before they get into law enforcement is law enforcement doesn't give you anything back. You know, it'll take everything from you, but you get nothing in return.
Welcome to the Off Duty Podcast, the podcast where we interview the men and women of law enforcement and help you to learn about the person behind the badge. If this is your first time tuning in, thank you. My name is Anthony McNeil, retired police officer and your host. Let's get started.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode number 39 of the Off Duty Podcast. Once again, it's me, your boy, Anthony McNeil, back with another fantastic guest joining me on the podcast. This gentleman has 13 years in law enforcement. He's a deputy marshal out of the state of Idaho. He's also a new author. He has a book coming out soon called Never Off Duty, which is coincidence now that he's on the Off Duty Podcast. but please help me welcome Mr. Nate Sylvester. Nate, what's going on, man?
Not much. How you doing, Anthony?
I'm doing good. Again, man, I appreciate you coming on the podcast and talking with me. I know you got a lot going on right now, so I want to be respectful of your time, and I'm going to jump right into it, okay?
All right.
For those of you that listen to the podcast, you know what my first question always is, and that's why law enforcement?
Well, before I started my law enforcement career, I was working in the agricultural industry, and not that there's anything wrong with that line of work, but for me, it was pretty unfulfilling. I was looking for something new, something a little more exciting, you know, a new adventure, so to speak. But when the opportunity for me arose to join my local police department, in my mind, I was thinking, you know, I want to live in a safer community. I want to raise my family in a safe community. And what better way to do that than to actually put on the uniform, wear the badge, hit the streets, and do the work myself. So that was my motivation combined with just wanting something a little, you know, a little more adventurous. So that's how I got started.
Yeah. Any family members in law enforcement?
I do. I've got a couple cousins, no immediate family members, but cousins in Utah that are in law enforcement.
Okay. Once you got into the profession, was it what you thought it would be?
No, not at all. It was quite a bit different. the whole Hollywood thing, you know, they do a very good job of glamorizing police officers and police work. And not that my expectations were totally unrealistic, but I had no idea of the type of calls that I would be responding to. And so that was a pretty big wake up call for me.
Yeah, it's an eye-opening experience, especially when you come from a background that's not even close to anything that you're going to experience once you get out on the road. You know, I was working in a restaurant before I got started, and the things you see that first time, you're like, oh, shit, what did I get myself into here? You know?
Yeah, I'm not sure if I can hack this. The 12-hour shifts were something that I wasn't accustomed to. I remember my first night shift was really rough. I remember thinking, how on earth am I going to adjust to this? I'm so tired already. It's my first night shift. I'm exhausted. But eventually you do. You get used to it. Your body acclimates and, you know, it just becomes part of your lifestyle.
Yeah, exactly. It's a crazy profession, that's for sure. And Nate, you can agree or not to talk about this. Everyone may or may not be familiar with Nate. He's made some national headlines here lately. I'll just go ahead and let you get into that if you're comfortable with it.
Sure. Boy, where to start? You know, I started doing TikToks in uniform in an effort to humanize the badge. You know, I wanted to do some lighthearted videos in uniform to show people that, you know, police officers, we kind of mess around a little bit and we're goofy and we got a sense of humor, even while we're on duty, just like anybody else would do, you know, in their jobs amongst their coworkers. And I wanted to sprinkle a little bit of humor in there as well. So, I started doing that, and, my videos, were fairly popular, and I've got a pretty decent following on TikTok now. And, the LeBron James TikTok, the notorious video, let's see, I posted that one, I think it was the 24th of April. And of course that was, you know, in the wake of his controversial tweet.
that he posted about Officer Reardon from Columbus, Ohio, after the Micaiah Bryant shooting. And, you know as well as I do that the law enforcement profession as a whole did not appreciate that. You know, criticism is one thing. We deal with that all day long. But outright green lighting an officer the way LeBron James did with his "your next" caption with the hashtag accountability, that was he crossed a line there. And, you know, I wasn't even one of the first ones to make a video in response to that. There were, you know, dozens of police officers that I knew of. They started making videos. They started making memes. And I wanted to throw my hat in the ring and, you know, again, put a humorous spin on it. It's obviously lathered with sarcasm, and it took off. Actually, the first video that I posted to TikTok was removed by TikTok. They indicated that it was some sort of a violation of their community guidelines. So I remade the video with just some very minor changes and reposted it. And luckily it stayed up. That was on a Saturday morning after I had checked out a service, posted the video. And then by Sunday, I started getting phone calls and text messages and emails and people just hitting me up, sending me links to articles and YouTube videos going, "Dude, your TikTok video is making the rounds, man. What did you do?" So, you know, I had previous former coworkers calling me and texting me, people worried like, "Hey, man, is this going to affect your job?" And of course, it eventually did. But that was very surreal when I started seeing my video, you know, on national news outlets and, you know, Newsweek articles, and the Cassandra Fairbanks with the Gateway Pundit. She was one of the first writers to actually do an article about the TikTok. And so it went crazy from there. And I started getting interview requests from, you know, pretty major news networks and some local news networks. And so that's kind of what I've been doing in between now and then, is sort of fielding interview requests and trying to keep up with my TikToks, you know, trying to do those consistently for my followers. So
let me ask you this, Nate, why do you think your video took off, seeing that it wasn't the first response to LeBron's comment?
You know, I don't know. I can admit that it was pretty clever. You know, I'll give myself that. But really, I think the planets just sort of aligned with this. You know, I posted it the right day, the right time, you know, when people were paying attention. And, you know, again, I've got a pretty decent following on TikTok, and, you know, my videos in my uniform do really well. And so those get shared quite a bit. So, you know, I think humor combined with a little bit of luck, and that's the reason it went viral the way it did.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned that it affected your job. How so?
Well, I police in a very liberal area. The mayor and city council members are quite liberal, and they, you know, this video pushed a few buttons, both positively and negatively. The outreach has been 98% supportive, but there's that small percentage that didn't agree with the message that I was sending in the TikTok. Mm-hmm. And amongst those people was the mayor and the city council members. So they actually wanted to fire me. But fortunately for me, I've got a marshal who has a good head on her shoulders. She's very common sense. And she went to bat for me and she said, "No, we're not going to fire him. Come up with something better. You know, this is ridiculous." She actually wanted to just give me a verbal warning, but they almost stroked out when she said that. You know, they really wanted me gone. So they finally agreed to suspend me without pay for a week.
Wow. Wow. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I read something about there was a GoFundMe started. Did you start that or someone else started? And what was it for?
Well, my best friend, Gannon Ward, he lives down in Utah. He's a chiropractor down there. And we keep in contact on a daily basis. And, you know, when I was getting the phone calls that Sunday after I posted the TikTok, I was actually at his house with my girlfriend. We were visiting, just having a nice evening, little game night with some dinner, and all of these messages and things started to flood in. And so he's been kind of monitoring and keeping track this whole time. Well, when I told him I got suspended from work without pay, that sort of, it upset him because he thought it was ridiculous, and it was ridiculous. So he created the GoFundMe. He kind of hinted that he was going to do it, but I didn't realize that he had actually done it until a coworker of mine called me and said, "Hey, I don't know if you know about this, but you should go check out this GoFundMe page that's been started for you." And so I went to it, and I think the first time I looked at it, he had set a goal of about $50,000 with the hopes of just, you know, maybe getting a few hundred bucks to help me through the week of my suspension. And he thought the 50 grand was a pretty lofty goal, which I thought it was too, but, you know, whatever. But when I first looked at it, it was sitting around 600 bucks. And I thought, well, wow, that's really generous of people to donate that amount of money. Cause that's almost, you know, that was almost the amount of money that I would have been short that week. And he told me, he's like, hey, I hope you don't mind, but I started this GoFundMe. I just, you know, I wanted to help you out through this week. And I said, you know, not at all. That's great. That's awesome of you. And I think I looked again like 2 hours later, and it had gone up to like $6,000. And it blew my mind because $6,000, that's a lot of money. And, but we just kept slowly creeping up towards this $50,000 goal. And, you know, and my friend Gannon, he was getting all excited, you know, calling me like every hour, because it was literally increasing $1,000 an hour at that point. And we were just both sitting there, you know, with our jaws on the floor going, this is unbelievable. And as the creator of that campaign, he would get emails from people who would donate and just they were telling him how much they appreciated what I had to say. And that's the reason that they were donating, is because someone was finally speaking up on behalf of law enforcement and, you know, not backing down from this whole thing. So over the course of 2 or 3 weeks, I think it got over $500,000. We reached $500,000 in that amount of time. So it was just incredible, you know, to see the amount of support that comes in for, and not just me, but for law enforcement in general. You know, all of the emails and phone calls and text messages that I got from people indicated that, hey, we love you, we support you, we appreciate what you had to say. We back law enforcement as a whole. You guys are heroes. You guys are keeping us safe, and we know that. We understand how important your job is. Please don't back down from this. This is an important time. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, that's crazy. How did the book deal come about?
Well, kind of the same way, this whirlwind of attention and, you know, that kind of me being thrown into the spotlight nationally. The publications company that I am working with on the book, they saw my video. The president of the company saw my TikTok, and she said, we got to do a book. Like, let's get this guy on the phone. And they called me, and they actually are local. They have an office here locally in Twin Falls. And I went and met with the president. You know, she told me her thoughts. She told me that she thought I had a good story. And, you know, to be honest, over the past several years, writing a book has sort of been on the back burner for me. I just never really pulled the trigger on writing it. But now here I am sitting in the office of the president of a publications company, and what she had to say was really appealing, and we drew up a contract, and then off we went.
That's awesome. When is the book coming out?
It'll be released in September. It's available for pre-order now. I think we've sold close to 1,000 copies, and those first 1,000 copies will actually be signed copies. So my hand's going to be a little sore after that, but you know, I've been getting so many messages about the book, and if people are concerned about getting a signed copy. So we made the first 1,000 copies signed, and I think we're somewhere around like 990 copies sold so far. So there's still a few left.
And how can people get them?
If you visit D'Angelo Publications, their website, they'll direct you to the link to pre-order the book. But if you also go to any one of my social media accounts, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, the link to the pre-order site is in my bio on those accounts.
Now, regarding all of this, I put up on my Instagram for anyone to submit questions that they wanted me to ask you. And I got a question from, I'm hoping I'm pronouncing the name right, Labtomie, Labatomie. And he or she wanted to know, is he back on the force? And if so, has his coworkers been supportive, and is there backlash?
So yes, yes, and yes. I am back to work. I went back 2 weeks ago. I did my suspension, and my first shift back was a couple of weeks ago. My coworkers have been amazing. My coworkers and immediate supervisors, they've all been very supportive. They've had my back throughout all of this, while at the same time trying to appear to remain neutral and objective so they don't put their own jobs at risk. But there has been a little bit of backlash. Like I said, the outreach has been 98% supportive.
my marshal printed off about 10,000 plus emails that people had written in to the marshal's office and the city offices in support of me. And there's only a handful, six or seven actual complaints that were submitted. So that's very encouraging to me and makes me very optimistic about how people feel about law enforcement when you have such a lopsided showing of support versus the opposition. But again, my mayor and city council members still are very unhappy with me. And rumor has it that, you know, the idea is still being tossed around of firing me. So I'm just sort of waiting to see what happens.
Wow, that's crazy, man. Well, you know what? With everything that you're going through right now, it's unfortunate, you know, that you have a couple of people who feel that that is necessary to try to fire you simply for speaking your mind. And that's one of my issues with a lot of departments. And kudos to your boss for supporting you, because I know a lot of times when I ask people to come on the podcast, they always tell me, well, I have to get approval from my department. And I'm like, listen, my podcast is not about your department. Okay. My podcast is about you. I'm not interested in your, what your department does, their tactics and all that stuff. That's not what this podcast is about. It's about the people. I get why, you know, you have to get permission, but I wish that departments and law enforcement across the country would allow their men and women to be human and take advantage of social media, because right now social media is crushing us.
Right.
And instead of using it for a tool to help promote us, you know, you have weak leaders who use it to punish officers, and it's just not right. And I will keep you in my prayers, man, that, you know, hopefully everything works out and you don't end up losing your job. But I want to go ahead and I want to get into the first segment here. And because like I said, this is all about you. This is all about the people. All right. So I want to go ahead and get into dig deeper the first segment.
Before we get to the first segment, I want to take a second and give a shout out to a friend of the show, Mr. Brandon T. Adams. Brandon is not only a friend of the show, but he's also a supporter of law enforcement and first responders. He's an entrepreneur, a success coach, a public speaker, a branding expert like no other, and a two-time Emmy winner. If you're a business owner and you're struggling to get your business to the next level, I want to tell you about Brandon's Success Academy. It's a proven system that Brandon has put together that will help you build your brand, your influence, and your income. To learn more about the Success Academy, go over to BrandonTAdams.com. Okay, let's go ahead and get to the first segment.
And in case you don't know what Dig Deeper is, folks, that's where I go poking around my guest social media and I find some posts and I start crafting questions around those posts. And Nate, the first post I came across of yours was a video of you dyeing your daughter's hair. And the caption read, "Just doing dad stuff." You recall that post?
I do, yeah.
Okay. How many kids you have?
Just one. Just the one.
All right. My first question regarding that post is, what's one moment you had with your dad that you will always remember?
Moment that I had with my dad. Boy, there's so many. My dad was, he was fairly strict with me when I was growing up, and he wanted me to make something of myself. He wanted me to get up off my ass and put the effort in no matter what it was I was going to do. But when I was about 10 years old, so I'm a track and field guy, right? And that sort of runs in my family. Okay. I was a discus thrower and a shot putter in high school and college. And that's sort of the Sylvester family legacy. Well, my dad wanted to pass that on to me. So when I was 10 years old, we lived out on a farm and we had all this land, all this space that we could, you know, run around and do things and play sports. And he took me out when I was 10 years old and started teaching me how to throw the discus. And he made me every day practice for at least 2 hours. We had to. There was no negotiating, no whining, no complaining. That's just something that I had to do, right? And at the time, you know, as a 10, 11-year-old boy, I hated it. I didn't want to do it. There was other things that I wanted to do. But it definitely paid dividends in the future because I was very successful all throughout middle school, high school, and college. State champion discus or shot putter. Got a full ride scholarship to go to college and compete. So those, and not just those, I guess, those material things that ended up, you know, happening for me, but just the idea of a
strong work ethic, you know, and putting in effort and not whining that you're not good enough at something or that you don't have a skill set in a certain area, but going out, putting the work in, developing those skills and pushing yourself to do something and be the best at something. So that's one very fond memory I have with me and my dad.
Another question I want to ask you about that post or around that post. You said you only have the one daughter. If she came to you one day and said she wanted to get in law enforcement, how would you feel about it?
You know, I'd probably lock her in a room for a little while and, you know, make her think about what she just said. that's a tough question. It's one that I've been thinking about a lot, actually, since she's, you know, she's obviously seen the attention that I've gotten recently. And law enforcement is kind of being, you know, it's kind of on the front burner right now. And, you know, she sees and hears the things that are going on in the media and in social media. If she came to me, I would have a very serious talk with her about the reality of law enforcement and some of the things that she might experience, some of the things that she might see, some of the things she might have to do. And if she has the mental and emotional fortitude to do those things and not have it affect her in a negative way, right? If she can stomach some of the things that law enforcement officers have to endure, you know, that's the first step. But I would definitely encourage her to find anything else that she wants to do, go to college, get a degree. And if she still feels like she wants to do law enforcement, great. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to try and stop her from pursuing her dreams and, you know, accomplishing her goals, but have something to fall back on. What a lot of people don't realize before they get into law enforcement is law enforcement doesn't give you anything back. You know, it'll take everything from you, but you get nothing in return. Now, that doesn't mean it's not an intrinsically fulfilling job at times. It can be if you manage that correctly and not let it consume your entire life and not let police work be your whole identity. But again, you don't get much back from it. And a lot of people get burned out because of that. And a lot of people quit, you know, and understandably so. But if that's, if you can anticipate that or the possibility of that and then have something to fall back on, you know, you'll be much better off.
Yeah, man. I love everything you just said. Has she given any thought to entering the profession?
No, she hasn't brought that up. She actually wants to be a veterinarian. So I'm like, absolutely do that. You know what? I'll pay for whatever school you want to go to. I'll work three jobs if I have to, you know, to help you accomplish that. So I'm happy.
I love everything about your answer, man, because you hit a lot of key points there. That's for sure. And I just did another episode not too long ago, and it was a gentleman. He was in his first year in law enforcement. And I told him, you know, whatever you do, don't lose your interest outside of law enforcement, because this is your job. It's not who you are. You know, don't let it define you. And that's very important. I want to go ahead and move on to another post here that I came across.
Okay.
Okay. And this was a picture of you and your mother that you posted on her birthday. And the caption was about a story of you receiving a cookie basket from a secret admirer in the seventh grade. And you talked about how that cookie basket, what it did for your confidence at that time. But it turns out that the cookies were from your mother. And obviously you remember that post.
I do that. You know, I didn't find that out until years later. But, you know, when I was in seventh grade, I was just such an awkward kid. And I know that a lot of us were, you know, back in those days, but I had zero confidence in talking to girls, and not that as a seventh grader I needed to be doing that, but you know, I was attracted to girls and I wanted to talk to them, but I just wasn't that guy. I wasn't the guy that had the confidence to approach a girl and say, you know, hey, how you doing? So I was kind of withdrawn in that regard. But one day during, I think it was the last period of class, I got a delivery, and it was from a local store called the Cookie Basket. And it was a basket of cookies. And the note essentially read something like, "From your secret admirer, I hope you have a good day," or, you know, something to that effect. And, you know, I lit up, you know, I was like, oh my gosh, like somebody actually likes me. Like there's a female that actually likes me, you know, cause I just kind of thought I went unnoticed, in those days by the opposite sex. And I think as I mentioned in that particular post, that just kind of gave me the little boost that I needed to walk down the hallway at school with a little more confidence and, you know, being a little more brave to approach girls that, you know, that I wanted to talk to and be able to strike up a conversation mm-hmm. with them without feeling awkward or uncomfortable. So that's just one of the ways. My mom's an amazing woman. She's a teacher, actually. She's been teaching for 27 years and she just retired this year. And if you talk to any one of her students, they'll tell you the same thing. They'll tell you how amazing she is. She's very smart. She's very wise and she's very kind and compassionate. And if you can take that and multiply that times infinity, that's how much she loves her own children. And so that's just an example of some of the things that she did for me just to help me through those awkward years of middle school.
That's a good story. One sentence that I pulled out of that post that I want to ask you a question about. And that was, I had to stifle my excitement as my mind raced to figure out who my secret admirer could be. And my question around that is, what are you excited about nowadays?
What am I excited about? I'm excited. Well, besides the obvious the obvious stuff that's going on with mm-hmm. with me in light of this TikTok virality and, you know, the support for law enforcement that we need to show people. I'm excited for my daughter. You know, she's a wonderful young woman. She's 16 years old. She has her whole life ahead of her. I've been lucky. She's been an easy child to raise. I haven't had any real issues with her as far as behaviorally, but I'm excited to see her in these last 2 years of high school that she has and to see her graduate and to see what she does, you know, with the rest of her life. I'm in a new relationship. I have a girlfriend. It's a long distance relationship, but she's a wonderful, amazing partner. And I'm excited to see where we go together, especially in the wake of, you know, of everything that's happening. Those are the things that I'm currently excited about.
I want to go ahead and jump into the next segment here. And this is what I call Random 7. And basically what this is, I have a system that creates just random questions. All right. So we have 7 just totally random off the wall questions. Okay. So try to answer them the best you can. All right. And the first one is, your superpower is that you can give phobias to people. What fun and interesting things would you make people afraid of?
I think I would. I think I would give Nancy Pelosi the fear of public speaking, so we didn't have to. We didn't have to hear her speak anymore. boy, that's a really interesting question. I've never thought about it that way. I've always kind of thought about how I could, how I could strengthen other people.
Yeah. When I saw this question, my reply was, I would make people afraid of stupidity.
I'd give people the fear of not trying to succeed. How about that? That's pretty positive, right?
There you go.
Because I think most people are afraid to try, and they're afraid of failure. But I would rather have them be afraid of the regret that they might feel later for not trying.
There you go. Next question: if you could visit anywhere in the world, where would you go and why?
I'd like to go to Florida, and I know that sounds kind of anticlimactic because there's tons of fascinating places all over the world. Well, I would like to experience Australia. But I've gotten a lot of support out of Florida. You know, Florida is a very red state. I've gotten job offers, you know, from several people there and a lot of support down there. Plus the climate down there is beautiful. And I also have family mm-hmm. there. So Florida is a place I'd like to spend a little more time.
My wife's from Florida. I was actually born in Florida. My daughter went to school down in Florida. So yeah, I'm up in Michigan now though.
Oh no.
It's not as bad as people make it out to be. It's not that bad. We're getting through it. You know, people have to sell their clicks and their newspapers and everything. So, but we're doing okay. We're getting through it. So,
how's the winters up there?
This winter was hard. It was cold, and we got more snow than we've gotten in a long time. Next question here: if you could make one of your hobbies into a profession, which would it be?
Well, I took a little run at this a couple of years ago. I got into bodybuilding, and this was just before the pandemic had hit. And I started getting really serious about bodybuilding and really tightened up my diet, dialed in my workout program and was actually doing pretty well and was set to compete. And, but it was right, like I said, it was right before COVID hit, and, the competition that I was scheduled to compete in, well, it was during the pandemic, it was during the lockdown period. So, that show got canceled. So that kind of took the wind out of my sails as far as that goes, but it's, still something that's kind of in the back of my mind.
Okay. Nice. Next question. In what way are you too hard on yourself?
Boy, these are some tough ones, man. I get down on myself a little bit for not having, I guess, focused on what I wanted to do, going into, like, coming out of high school, going into college, right? I wasted a lot of time my first couple years in college, with, you know, just these random classes that I was taking just because I needed enough credits so that I could be eligible to compete, right, in track and field.
Okay.
And I never really took the time to focus and sit down and think about what I wanted to do in the future for a career. And that, and, you know, and later on, that kind of came back to bite me, you know, applying for different schools and, you know, finally figuring out what it was that I wanted to do. But, you know, and it's not a huge deal. You know, I don't lay awake at night thinking about it, but that's one of the things that I wished was different about me. And I can kind of see it in my daughter a little bit, is the sort of that, that lack of focus when it comes to deciding on a career, deciding on a profession, or choosing small goals to accomplish every day to reach your larger goal. I spent a lot of time daydreaming in high school about, I'd be sitting in English class and daydreaming about going to the weight room after class was over and playing football and basketball with my friends. And, you know, just a lot of time sort of spaced out instead of focusing on my schoolwork and focusing on things that were a little more important. But, you know, I think I turned out okay, but that's, you know, that's just one of the things that I think back on every now and then. You know, how much different would my life be had I been a little more goal oriented in my younger years?
Yeah, I hear you, man. Those young years, it's hard to figure out what path you want to take. So you have to jump through a lot of mistakes and try to figure things out to get there. And that kind of leads me into the next question. Complete this sentence with anything other than your job title. I am a blank.
Good father. That's one thing I don't mind bragging about. I decided a long time ago that no matter what happened in my life, I was not going to let my daughter want for anything that I could provide her in the way of affection and guidance and, you know, protection and safety and, you know, all the things that a father is supposed to provide for his daughter. So I've done a pretty good job with that.
I agree, man. I have two daughters. They're both grown now and I love them to death. You know, I totally agree with everything you just said. Two more questions here. What's at the top of your bucket list?
I'd like to visit the East Coast and kind of take the U.S. history tour, so to speak. I haven't been to any of the places like, you know, the Washington Monument or the Lincoln Memorial. I want to go back and sort of see all those things and experience, you know, how our nation was founded, as, you know, as much as you can, visiting those sites. I'd like to go to New York and sort of work my way down, you know, into Boston, you know, Virginia, Washington, D.C. and those areas, and visit that part of the country that's sort of rich in history.
My youngest daughter, she just got a job in D.C. and she's working in the government and she lives in Virginia. But yeah, if you get a chance, man, go do that, because there's just so much about the history of this country that you will discover. It's unbelievable. I didn't realize there was that many museums in DC, but shit, they got a museum for just about everything you can think of, you know, but they're all very interesting. So if that's on your list, definitely go knock it out. Last question here. Who is your celebrity crush?
Oh boy, my celebrity crush. Jeez, I hope my girlfriend's not watching. Scarlett Johansson. She's, okay. I don't know what it is about her. Obviously she's very beautiful, but I think just the fact that she's an Avenger and she does really well in a lot of those action sequences, you know, in the Marvel movies. And she's just, it kind of seems like that cool chick type that, you know, you'd want to hang out with.
Yeah, that's a good choice. You a comic book guy?
No, I didn't grow up reading comics, although I am very fond of superheroes, especially Superman.
but I grew up sort of watching the cartoons on TV, and that's how I sort of developed my affinity for all of the superhero movies and stories.
I'm going to change up here a little bit here, and instead of getting into this or that, I got a bunch of questions from some of the followers over on Instagram that people submitted to me that I want to throw your way. Okay. And the first one, I'm not sure if this lady is someone that you may know or not, but her IG name is Mama Bear 247 Tina.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. And I figure she probably knows you because of one of the questions that she asked, but she asked four questions. And the first question is the hardest part of the job that the public won't know.
I think the hardest part of the job are all the people that you can't help, right? Police officers are law enforcement officers, right? We deal with criminal activity. And a lot of times, if it doesn't have anything to do with a specific crime that's been committed, we really don't have the authority to help. Now, we can go and we can sort of counsel people. We can mediate at times, you know, in a domestic disturbance type of a situation. But it's, you know, for example, I was working the other day and I got a call from a young woman who was in a relationship with her boyfriend. They had kids together. They've been living together for 11 years, and now all of a sudden they want to split up. And her main question was, well, how do I protect my property? And, you know, what do I do if he takes something of mine and doesn't want to give it back? And, you know, I kind of explained to her the laws pertaining to, you know, community property and things like that, and how it's mostly a civil issue. And, you know, you can kind of hear the sort of the disappointment or frustration in their voice, you know, when you tell them that, look, there's nothing I can do for you in this case. You have to go get an attorney and, you know, spend a few thousand dollars in order to protect yourself in that case. And it's news that I don't like giving people. You know, attorneys are expensive, but, you know, that's just the reality of police work sometimes, is that a lot of times our hands are tied and there's not a lot we can do for people. And I'd like to be able to help everybody, but we can't.
All right. This next question is the question that made me think that she may know you.
Okay.
And the question is, do blondes with boobs talk their way out of tickets with you?
Okay, no, they do not. and we just declare, we don't know each other personally, but I do recall her, you know, commenting on a lot of my posts, so I know who you're talking about. given what I know about her and in the comments that I've seen her post, that question doesn't surprise me, and that's why I laughed. But for me, no, I've never given anybody a break based on their appearance.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want to go on to another person here, Holly Wrestler. And Holly asks, knowing what you know now, what advice would you give to a younger law enforcement officer version of yourself?
That's a great question, actually, and one that I've thought a lot about recently. So to preface that, you know, the best training that I ever went to in my entire law enforcement career was called Emotional Survival for Law Enforcement. And I don't know if you're familiar with that at all, but Dr. Kevin Gilmartin, he wrote a book on this, and he actually sort of tours around to different agencies and presents the material in his book as a training. And best training I ever had, because it taught me how to, like you and I discussed before, is how to have an identity outside of police work and how to avoid compassion fatigue and burnout and things like that. You know, so many police officers get wrapped up in the job. It consumes them. You know, all they think about is police work and law enforcement and officer safety. And, you know, those are important things to think about, but you have to have a life outside of that, especially if you want to have healthy relationships with your spouse, your girlfriend, your kids, other friends. Otherwise, you see those relationships begin to diminish. And it's a very sad thing that, because I experienced some of that as well early on. So if I could give advice to a younger version of myself, it would be to leave work at work. Remember that family is more important than police work, right? Because there's a time and a place to do your duty as a police officer. But if it's at the expense of your family and your relationships with your kids and, you know, other family members, then you're going about it the wrong way.
Yeah, that's a great answer. I'm in the process of putting something together that kind of deals with that. I can't go into it too much now, but it's exactly what you just described. And hopefully I'll be able to talk about it more here in a few weeks. I want to go into another person here, os.flores, and she asked, what are some valuable things to keep in mind when selecting an agency?
You know, I would talk to, if you're looking for an agency to work for, I would talk to some of the officers there, some of the frontline officers, right? Not a supervisor or an administrator. I would see if you can get some one-on-one time with an actual patrolman and ask them, you know, how their experience is with that particular agency, because those are the guys that are going to tell you the truth. You know, they're not interested in recruiting you necessarily, but whereas an administrator who understands the importance of recruiting people and how to make that agency more appealing, they might not be as forthcoming about some of the cons, you know, and some of the drawbacks with working for that agency. I would take some time and, you know, do a ride along with one of the officers, ask a ton of questions, get an idea for the call volume that you can expect to get as an officer there, the types of calls you're going to go to, and then just, you know, pick their brain. Because you want to, one of the things that I would want to know is how is the relationship between officers and the chief of police or the mayor? You know, how well do they take care of their employees? You know, what's the salary like compared to the cost of living, you know, in that particular area? But, you know, how well does the administration and that agency go to bat for their officers when those officers need support? Are they the type to work with them, you know, if they get themselves in trouble for whatever reason? Or are they the type of agency that's just going to cut ties and abandon their officers and, you know, leave them high and dry?
Good sound advice. Last question here, and this is from Golf Lady Rachel, and she wants to know, did you grow up in the area that you work in Idaho?
I did. Yes, I was born and raised in Twin Falls, Idaho. And that was, again, that was kind of one of the motivators for me is, you know, I live in this community. I love this community. And I had the opportunity to help make this community a safer place, not just for me and my family, but for everybody, you know, everybody that I knew and have known, you know, growing up and living here. So, spent almost my entire life here and spent the majority of my law enforcement career with the Twin Falls Police Department.
Nice. Well, listen, man, I want to be respectful of your time. And Nate, again, man, I'm going to keep you in my prayers as far as this whole thing with this, with your municipality and your job and everything. Hopefully all that works out for you. Before we go, can you just go ahead and share all your social media and things where people can get in contact with you and follow you and see what you got going on?
Yeah. So on TikTok, my handle is Nate's Wilden. That's NateSWildn. And that's the same for Instagram. And then on Facebook, it's just Nate Sylvester.
Well, man, listen, again, it's been an honor and a pleasure speaking with you.
Likewise.
You know, I'm glad I had an opportunity to get you on the podcast. And I'm going to put links to all of your stuff down in the show notes. So guys, please go over, follow Nate, check out what he's doing. Any last words before we sign off here?
No, I appreciate you having me on. It's been a pleasure. I had a lot of fun.
Same here, man. I'm glad you came on again and kicked it with me. Guys, listen, before we go, you know, every Monday, 12 o'clock noon, I give out a vacation voucher to one random follower. All you have to do is text off duty to 833-989-3124. That's off duty to 833-989-3124. You enter once and you are entered for the rest of the year. It's a random drawing. We have over 30 locations, including Hawaii, Las Vegas, Miami, and a whole bunch of other places. So text off duty to 833-989-3124. And on that note, I'm out of here and I will see you guys on the next episode.